Hello, my name is Dr. Samuel Kim.
And I'm Sharon Kim.
And welcome to Research Sense for Korean American Therapy, a podcast that removes barriers and gives you a rundown of the latest Korean American mental health research. Welcome. Today's episode is the experience of acculturative stress-related growth from immigrants' perspective by Chunyoung Kim and Hakjun Kim. And if I've mispronounced your names, my deepest apologies. This was an interesting article. It's a little bit older, from 2013, but we thought it was well worth talking about. Before we get started, let's talk a little bit about acculturation. So Sharon, you are not from the U.S. When did you come to the U.S.?
I immigrated in 2016.
2016. Oh my gosh, 7 years. Were there any things that you ran into when you first immigrated that were just like, it didn't click with you, or you found some struggles with when you immigrated?
Definitely. So unlike many immigrants, you can't really tell I immigrated after I became an adult because I don't have an accent when I speak English for the most part. And so people would treat me as if I grew up here, which means that whenever people joked, I wouldn't understand their joke. Like, for instance, there were a lot of cultural references, laughing with them, and I'm like thinking in my head, who are the Spice Girls? What's going on? And so I turn to my husband, who's Korean American, and I nudge at him. I'm like, who's that?
So you don't know Spice Girls. Do you know NSYNC and Backstreet Boys?
I do, because I listened to them when I was younger.
Well, I guess you want it that way. But today's article is a lot about that immigrant experience, that acculturation, how people acculturate when they come to the U.S. And I think for you, you've had a lot of advantages of modern technologies and being able to turn to your husband and asking him about some of the references. One of the things I've always thought about, and I really knew need to get around and ask my family, but when my family immigrated, I always wondered, how do they know how to register me for school? How do they know what tax forms to fill out? You know, back in the days before the internet and before people had cell phones. And I just can imagine that navigating all that is a very stressful thing. And that's something that this article talks a lot about. And it interviews a lot of these older Korean Americans and looking at their acculturation experiences. So being able to adapt to a new culture and coming here.
What was it like for your grandparents, do you know, when they first immigrated to the U.S.?
That's a great question. I don't really know too much. I just know that they were very poor. And when they came, and there was a lot of struggles they had to go through. Most of my family members, when they came, because my dad had finished high school, and one of my aunts was going to a high school for her senior year. And I believe my uncle came about a year or two later because he was finishing up university in Korea. And I think almost all of them had a job at the textile factory that was in town. And so a lot of them worked blue collar jobs to just kind of keep things up and figure things out. You know, one of the things that does come out of that and is the stress that comes from the acculturation. Mm-hmm. Like when you come to a brand new culture, there's a lot you don't know. And it's not just language. There's so much more to culture than just language. And just because you can speak the language, there's all this other stuff that you're missing out on too.
Yeah. Such as limited social supports. You left your family, you left your friends back in Korea when you immigrated here. You feel homesick. It's not just having a different language, but it's also customs and traditions that are different. Usually financial changes that happen when you immigrate. So working at a blue collar job when you have a university degree, for instance, right? If you had stayed in Korea, you probably would not be doing that kind of job, for instance. You know, all those struggles that come with immigrating to a new place.
Yeah, and just being able to navigate some of those things, like buying a car so that you can get from home to work is always a thing. So there's transportation issues. And my family immigrated to a very small town that didn't really have much of a public transportation system. So they either had to depend on neighbors who are close by, or they had to figure out getting a car themselves. And then some changes in some of the family structure, because I think in Korea, you have extended family and you can kind of connect with them in different ways. Whereas when they immigrated to the U.S., there was kind of a more of an independence amongst the different families. And so some of that, I think, affected the stresses that the family was feeling. But this article also talks about the older Asian immigrants who came to the US. So it's not just like the brand new families who are coming in, but these are older Asian Americans who are looking back on their experiences years after they immigrated. And they faced a lot of challenges in adapting to this culture. I think a lot of our modern listeners today cannot imagine moving to a brand new country without Google Translate or a cell phone. Mm-hmm. I always wondered, how did my parents know how to register me for the local school or even what school to go to mm-hmm. to register me? How did they know what tax forms to fill out? I mean, I still have trouble figuring out what tax forms I need to fill out. It's still a big mystery. I cannot imagine what it would have been like for them if there was a serious illness and to navigate the hospital systems without insurance, without certain kinds of coverages, and how that would have been for them. And for a lot of these immigrants who have been here for a long time, they've kind of seen that progression and change. And I think there was a previous article that we had talked about where children were depended on for that language and cultural brokering. How difficult it must have been to have your child negotiate your rent payment for you.
And research shows that among all those stressors that we mentioned, a lack of English skills is identified usually as the most difficult factor of adapting to the US. And it's not just externally, right? It's not just going outside and trying to speak in English and doing your work and all those things, but also inside the house where you have this cultural gap between parents and children. And some researchers have found that that cultural gap between parents and children actually causes depressive symptoms as well. However, empirical evidence shows that stressful life events actually can turn to positive changes. And this is called stress-related growth, which we're going to talk about in this article.
And I do want to be careful with that phrase. It's not to say that, oh, you need stress in order to become more resilient or a better human being. What this study is looking at is like these people went through a very stressful event, but they were able to find some sort of benefit. And so the question is, what sort of benefits were they able to find in that very stressful event of immigrating to the US?
So how was the research conducted?
The research study was done by interviews. So that's a very common technique that we've seen in a lot of the studies that we've talked about. And I do want to make a note, we have a lot of these qualitative studies, mainly because a lot of these studies are very exploratory. What I mean by that is there aren't a lot of studies on Asian Americans or Koreans out there in terms of these psychological concepts. So we don't know what to do more quantitative stuff with. We don't have the survey questions to ask. And so a lot of these are done by interviews to really learn what was the experience like to be a Korean American and how was that different from what we would expect in the general literature. So the participants, about 7 were males, 6 were identified as female. They ranged from 65 to 82, so definitely a little bit older. They were in the winter of their lives. And they, on average, lived in the U.S. for 32 years.
Wow, that is a long time. And I say that because I don't think I've lived anywhere longer than 9 years. And so to read the stories of people who have immigrated somewhere and stayed there for 32 years and hear their stories of how they grew through the challenges that they met, I think that's really awesome.
And can you imagine how many stories they have to tell?
Oh, yeah.
The interview questions they asked was, could you tell me your life story? And I can imagine these older immigrants saying, so how much time do you have? Other questions they asked were, have you gained any benefits when you encountered adaptation challenges? How did you deal with the challenges in your life during your immigration processes? And have you felt any positive changes in your life because of adaptation challenges? Now, I do want to pause here for 1 second because Sharon, you asked a very good question in our little briefing before we started recording. It's like, aren't some of these questions a little leading?
I was very confused by that. I thought, you know, research had to be neutral. Even when you go into interviews, you had to ask very open-ended, neutral questions. So why did they ask these questions where they are trying to find positive changes in their lives? Is that too leading?
It can be, and it depends on what they were looking for in the research study. So if the research study was focused on what was the experience of older Asian Americans, then yes, these questions are way too leading for that kind of question because we just want to know what their experiences were. But the purpose of this study was to look at what were some of the stressors and what were some of the benefits they got from those stressors? And so it was a very specific question. And because of that, you do have to form the question so that it leads to answering the questions around the hypotheses.
That's really good to know.
Yeah. So what did they find after they interviewed all these folks and got all their data transcribed? Oh, and we do want to mention the participants did respond to these questions in Korean. And so they transcribed everything into Korean, but they were very sure that these were what were said by the participants, including checking for what we call trustworthiness in qualitative research, in that they went back to the participants and checked with them. It's like, hey, is this what you said? Is this what you meant?
So they did find that, just like other researchers have stated, these older Korean American immigrants do face challenges when it comes to immigrating and acculturating to a new culture. So some of the challenges that they faced when they first immigrated were language barriers, family issues, culture and ethnic differences, struggles with their children, and racial conflicts. But they also found that there were some stress-related growth that occurred through those difficulties. And there were three parts to it. So the first part was that they developed a mental toughness. And then the second part was that they engaged in meaningful activities. And then the third part was that they promoted cultural understanding to others.
Yeah, there were some really good quotes that they included from their study. So going back to the development of mental toughness. So this is one of the areas that it was reported that because of the immigration stressors, this was one of the things that they developed. And this mental toughness can be related to self-discipline, inner strength, mental endurance. And one of the quotes came from a 73-year-old gentleman, and we've only taken a portion of it. So this is not the whole quote that they put into the study, but he said, "When I began my business, my neighbors vandalized my store and shouted, 'Go back to your country and learn English.' I became much tougher mentally and yelled at them. To survive, I should deal with that." And so there was kind of like, I'm not putting up with this. I'm going to fight back mentality that developed within this gentleman.
I think it broke my heart when he said, "To survive, I should just have to deal with it." Mm-hmm. I think that that's something that a lot of immigrants have to go through.
Yeah. And there's another quote by a 65-year-old gentleman. Do you want to read that quote for us?
Sure. This person said, "My wife and I had worked at least 15 hours a day and did not spend any time with my children. And even though we were physically exhausted and tired after work, we did not express it to our children because it might negatively affect their studies. We worked so hard for our children and gradually became much stronger."
So yet here's another example of that mental toughness that a lot of these immigrants sort of developed, because there was that need to, we want to make sure that the future generations are taken care of. And we've seen in other studies where we discuss the level of emphasis that's placed on the education of the child. My parents worked hours on end, days on end, running their small businesses all throughout my life. I cannot remember a single instance where I distinctly remember them complaining about their job.
That's something that I need to learn from the previous generation, right?
Let me just say, it was not passed down on to me.
And it was interesting. The second portion that these researchers found was that all 13 participants were involved in some sort of activity that was meaningful to them, whether that's church-based or volunteer-based or something culturally meaningful to them. And they use that as a way to cope with the acculturative stress that they experienced.
Yeah, one of the participants is a 70-year-old woman who said, "Helping new immigrants who are emigrating from Korea was my passion and love, even though we too were struggling to adapt to new societies. If newcomers needed a ride, we offered a ride and helped them settle in a new place. For 29 years, I have been providing a ride for one person." Goodness gracious. Wow. I will say one of the most meaningful things I did back when I was living in Dallas-Fort Worth area is I was working with a nonprofit organization that helped families complete their citizenship application.
Oh, wow.
And it was just so amazing to work with these families. And we did ask some personal questions because the forms require personal questions. And I remember being there, I think, for like 4 to 6 hours. just meeting family after family and helping them fill out these forms. But it was one of the most fulfilling times. And it just felt so good that I was helping somebody with my English abilities.
Wow.
A lot of people go to churches. I mean, churches are such a hub for Korean Americans, especially the ones who recently immigrated.
And I think one research stated that people who engaged in church-based activities, they also reported developing the spiritual peace and comfort that they needed to deal with all the challenges that they faced in their lives. And 5 participants were engaged in culturally meaningful activities. And what they were doing is they were delivering Korean culture and etiquette and lessons to others, like U.S. veterans of the Korean War or Korean adoptees, or even their own children and their children's children. They offered Korean classes and played Korean traditional games and all these things. And so that in itself, I feel like is so great because they are able to pass down their culture and get the sense of belonging and connectedness with others through these activities.
Yeah, and I even know of some summer camps out there that provide immersion experiences for Korean adoptees who want to learn more about the Korean culture, where they send their kids off to it for a week and they learn all the stuff about their heritage. And I think that ties into the last benefit, which is promotion of cultural understanding. So we have a 70-year-old woman who says, regardless of how old I was, most Americans called me by my first name. And based on my cultural value, this was unacceptable and considered rude. In Korea, people should use honorific languages with older adults. I realized I lived in a different country and they had a different culture. Even though it took me a while to understand this difference, I started respecting their ways and now I'm fine with it. And that's such a big part of Korean culture. Even when I meet with other faculty at the university who are Korean Americans, I almost never call them by their name because I don't know how much they've adopted the American culture or not.
That's something I struggle with too. When after I moved here, is Korean Americans who are older than me would tell me, oh, just call me John. And clearly he's Professor Kim. I am not going to call him John. And I tell him, oh no, I think I prefer Professor Kim better. Because for me, that's my way of showing respect to him, even though he may not be that Koreanized, right?
Yeah, and there's so many other cultural things that you have to navigate, especially if you haven't fully acculturated to the US culture. There's a 74-year-old male who reported, I frequently attended some conferences and events related to judo in the US and Korea. In Korea, if different ideas and suggestions came up in these meetings, the people who had different ideas were more likely to dislike each other and even be enemies. However, in the US, even though they had different opinions and ideas, after the meeting, they smiled and became good friends. This is one of those things I learned much later in life, and I did not realize how important disagreement was and how you needed to tread disagreement carefully. When you're with those who had recently come from Korea. If I disagree with someone who is very Korean, I'll try to find something right about what they said that I agree with, and then pretend like I'm adding something on top rather than saying that's wrong. This is what it is.
I love that you have that cultural knowledge. You can navigate the Korean world in the US world very well, like those two different cultures together. It just took me such a long time. For me, when I immigrated to Korea for college, and that was my first time living in Korea ever, I would stand up and voice my opinion to professors and students and colleagues, and that rubbed them the wrong way. That took me a long time to realize, oh, it's just not culturally appropriate to be so direct with my opposite opinions. Instead, what I should have done is what you did is, oh yeah, yes, I agree with that statement. And that is so smart. And also I disagree sort of, you know, being very indirect about it. And that's a more culturally appropriate way to disagree with someone.
And to emphasize the stress of something like that and taking your example, if you came into that environment and were expressing your opinions very directly, even if they were contrary, how were you looked at? How were you perceived? Were you perceived as a difficult student because you were so confrontational? And that could have been the perception that was given to you. And that's a very stressful thing to navigate a brand new world and being labeled as confrontational. So that's you going to Korea, but I also think that Koreans coming to the US are experiencing similar things too. So we've talked a lot about these different ways that older Korean Americans have adapted to the US culture and how they see some of their acculturations as beneficial, the stresses that they've gone through. And so I want to emphasize one more time for the implication. It does not mean you should put people through undue stress because you think this is going to be good for you. But this is more of they went through these stressful things and they were able to find some of these positive aspects of it. And the three main positive aspects were developmental mental toughness, engaging in meaningful activities with others, and promotion of cultural understanding.
I think what I took away from this was we can grow from our challenges. And one of the best ways to do that is through belonging somewhere. So through connectedness, and that's what they mean by engaging in meaningful activities, right? You want to be somewhere where you can contribute, where you can feel like you're doing something meaningful, whether that's volunteering and giving a ride to somebody or teaching somebody how to navigate a new world. If you have immigrated recently or you're struggling to adapt to a new culture, find ways to connect with either your ethnic culture or the host culture and find ways to do meaningful activities and help others.
Yeah, and I also want to extend that idea of belonging to those who may be a little bit more American on the Korean American side, or maybe who don't have any Korean American heritage. Let's say, for example, a Korean American develops a friendship with you and invites you over to their home and decides to introduce you to some Korean cuisine. The importance of belonging is critical. And belonging, as we can see, is something that builds resilience for those who go through very stressful situations. So for them to show you the cuisine that they are making and their foods, they're presenting a very intimate side of themselves to you. So before you look at something and say, that looks disgusting, or, oh my gosh, what is that smell? Maybe try to adapt some of the strategies we use. It's like, oh, this is so spicy and flavorful. I really like this. This is really delicious, because in essence, it could be seen as you rejecting them.
You touched on it a little bit, but I think what's really important is for us to understand different cultures and not just stop with, oh, I hate that smell, or I hate how they do that, or I hate how indirect they are, for instance. Instead of just stopping there, just being curious about, I wonder where they got that from. I wonder why that is. And then diving a little bit deeper into by asking them, hey, where does that come from? That's always a great way to learn from one another and grow together.
And not to be afraid to kind of show aspects of your culture and to help others acclimate to this new world that they've entered into. Well, that's our episode for today, and I hope you enjoyed it, and we hope that you'll join us next time.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed our episode, please subscribe to our podcast and check out more at mustardseedgeneration.org
and samuelykim.com. To keep these episodes coming, rate and share on wherever you listen to this podcast.